Good evening to everyone. Greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's a privilege for us, even in the closing hours of this year 2020, the Lord has given us an opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord. Very soon we'll be entering a new year with His blessings and even with His promises. But it is also a time to examine ourselves. It is a time to take stock of our lives. And the best way to do it is to examine ourselves in the light of God's Word. And that's what we have to do before we take part in this emblems, the Lord's table. So the Lord is giving us another opportunity to examine ourselves, to take stock of our lives, where we are in our Christian life, in our Christian journey. Are we progressing in our Christian life, or are we living a stagnated life? And the scripture portion that I have chosen for this evening is taken from Genesis 35. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 35. And we are going to read verses 1 till verse 15 responsively. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 35 from verses 1 till verse 15. I'll read verse 1. You can read verse 2. We'll continue till verse 15. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourself and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone." Verse 4. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in the ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because the God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Orah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree, so the name of it was called Alan Bakuth. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. Verse 10, please. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, "I am God Almighty, breed fruitful and multiply a nation, and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I gave to you and to your descendants after I give this land." Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. May God bless the reading of his word and add his blessings for his name's sake. There is a saying or an idiom in English. It goes like this: familiarity breeds contempt. Now what that means is, when we have a lot of knowledge about a particular subject, we begin to dislike it. Whether it is a person or a thing, when we are familiar with the person, we know many of his faults and the weaknesses of the person. But when it comes to any subject, a thing, because of familiarity, we begin to dislike. And when we apply that in our Christian life, there will be a time and a period where we become cold and complacent in our Christian faith. When we started our Christian journey, we were very enthusiastic. We were very zealous for the Lord. But as the years go by, we lost our first love. We do not have that zeal and excitement anymore as we used to have when we were saved. Sometimes we become worldly and carnal. We live a compromised life. Yes, we attend the church Sunday after Sunday. We worship the Lord. We take part in the Lord's table. We pray. Because these are the things that we have been doing week after week. But our hearts are distant from the Lord. We live a half-obedient life. We live almost obedient life. An almost obedient life is a disobedient life before God. Now, what is the answer for this? The answer is spiritual recovery, spiritual renewal, personal revival, spiritual awakening in the life of a believer. Now, how does that happen? And that is what I would like to share with you from the scripture portion that we have read this evening, and especially from the life of Jacob. Now, the first step to spiritual recovery or spiritual renewal is a renewed call from God. Now, if you see verse 1, it begins, "Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." Now the verse begins with the word "then." Now whenever you find a word "then" in the Bible, you have to ask the question, when? So we have to go back to Genesis chapter 34. Now, Genesis chapter 34 records a tragic event in the life of Jacob. There was a crisis in the life of Jacob. And what was that crisis? Jacob's only daughter, Dinah, was defiled and she was raped by the prince of Shechem. And when the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, when they came to know that their sister was defiled and raped, a disgraceful thing was done in the land of Israel, they both went and slaughtered all the males of Shechem. Now, when Jacob comes to hear this news, he was very much disturbed. He was distressed. He was gripped with fear. He knew the community would come and take blood revenge and finish off the whole household of Jacob. And I'm sure at that moment, Jacob was spiritually awakened. The scripture doesn't record, but I'm sure Jacob would have gone to the Lord and say, "Lord, have mercy on me. Deliver me from this evil. I am in distress. I need your help." And it is at that time we see a renewed call that comes from God. And the call was, "Jacob, rise up and go to Bethel and build there an altar for me." Now, where was Jacob now? Jacob and his household, after they came back from Padan Aram, they settled in a place called Sukkoth, which is in Shechem. God never asked him to settle in Shechem. Now, Shechem is an atmosphere of worldliness. Maybe as he was traveling towards, or when he came into the land of Canaan, he must have seen the fertile plains and the lands of Jordan. And he must have been very much tempted. And he must have said, this is the right place for me to settle. This is the right place for me and my household and for my cattle. It is this place where I'll be prospering. And we see Jacob compromised. And he settled at Shechem. And do you know for how many years he was there? He was 20 years in Padan Aram. When God asked him to come back to Canaan, he came to Canaan. And he settled in Shechem for 10 long years. God never asked him to come to Shechem. But Jacob thought, nevertheless, I'm in the promised land. It's okay whether I stay in Shechem or whether at Bethel. And the interesting thing is, Jacob even built an altar there at Shechem. But the Lord was not satisfied. But the Lord was not pleased. Because God wanted his man to be in the place where God wants him to be. That's why this renewed call comes to Jacob. And he says, Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and build their altar for me. Is there not an altar at Shechem? Yes, there was an altar. But that altar had no significance in the life of Jacob. On one side, Jacob was compromising his Christian life. He became a worldly man, a carnal man, living a half-hearted, disobedient life before God, not in touch with God, in fellowship with God. On the other side, he was also trying to please God. He built an altar there. Sometimes in our Christian life, you and I do the same thing. We go through all the motions because we are familiar with many things. We come to the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning. We sing songs. We worship. We pray. We take part in the Lord's table. We do many things. We go through all the motions. But the rest of the week, we do not live in fellowship and in touch with God. Someone said like this, the life of worldliness during 6 days of the week is too powerful for anything that happens on the seventh day to counteract it. That is the life Jacob was living. He was living a worldly life. He had a sense of disobedience and backsliding. So God is reminding Jacob, do you know? When you fled from the face of your brother, you came to a place called Luz. When you were lonely, when you were gripped with fear, when he was sleeping with the stone under his head, he saw the vision of the Lord, the angels of God ascending and descending. He got up from the sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, but I did not know it. And do you know what? Immediately he takes that stone and set it up as a pillar and he makes a vow. He makes a pledge. And what is that pledge? If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 28 and verse 20. See what is the pledge that Jacob makes. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in the way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. As a young man, he made a vow. He made a pledge. He made a promise to the Lord. Lord, if you are going to be with me, if you are going to supply all my needs, if you are going to bring me back here, and I'm going to set up a memorial here at Bethel. But Jacob forgot all that pledge that he had made. He was living a compromised life at Shechem. God had to shake his nest. God has to put him in a place where his eyes were opened. And the Lord says, rise up and go to Bethel and build their altar to me. Not only this, but there were several things that were going through the mind of Jacob. Not only the crisis that was created by his two sons by slaughtering the males of Shechem, but he did not set a good example to his household. He allowed idolatry in the house. We are going to see that later. He was living a half-hearted and half-obedient life. All this were playing up in his mind. It is at that time we see a renewed call that comes from God. How wonderful God is. God had been working in the life of Jacob for how many years? For 30 years. God could have said, Jacob, enough is enough. I can't bear with you. But we see the overruling grace of God that was working in Jacob. The renewed call once again comes to Jacob and reminding him, Jacob, there needs to be a spiritual renewal in your life, a spiritual recovery. As long as you remain in Shechem, it will not happen. You need to get up and go to Bethel and build their altar unto me. If you see in the scriptures, when Abraham comes after his backsliding, goes to Egypt and comes back, he comes first to Bethel. He builds an altar there. In Shechem, Jacob comes and builds an altar there. But they build their altar on their own. But this is the only place that we see God tells Jacob to build an altar at Bethel. How particular God was in reminding David about the vow and the pledge that he has made. That is the first step to spiritual recovery and spiritual renewal. Let's come to the second step. The second step leading to spiritual recovery and renewal is the spiritual cleansing and preparation. Now, verse 2, and Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourself and change your garments. Now for Jacob, Bethel means to be in the presence of the Lord. Before Jacob and his household can come into the presence of the Lord, there should be a cleanup that should take place in his house. There should be a cleanup. There should be a preparation before they can come into the presence of the Lord. Now if you see in verses 2 and 3, Jacob and his household has to do at least 5 things. The first thing Jacob says to his household is, put away the strange gods. Can you imagine? God has chosen a family, a God's elect, that he is going to fulfill the covenant that he has made to his forefather Abraham. He is going to fulfill these promises through this family of Jacob. And yet we see this family was loaded with idols. From where did they get the idols? Of course, we know, we don't have time to see all those verses, but Rachel, she brought the stolen the idols of his father. And not only that, when the two sons, they plundered Shechem, they also took the spoil from them. And I'm sure they would have brought some more idols from there as well. Before you come into the presence of the Lord, these idols have to be removed. An idol is something that comes between you and your God. You may not be having physical idols like Jacob and his household had. But there can be many idols in our lives. It could be our job. It could be our career. It could be our family. It could be our fulfillment in life. And most importantly, the greatest ideal in the life of a Christian is self with its manifestations. And we see here, those idols have to be put away. When there is an idol in our life, it prevents us from growing in the Lord. It stunts our growth. And the second thing that Jacob and his household has to do is, they have to purify themselves. See what he says in verse 2? Put away the foreign gods among you, purify yourself. This is a literally washing of the body. It is a literal and also symbolic cleansing of sin. Before you come into the presence of the Lord, we need to come with a clean heart. The scripture says, let us draw near with a pure heart, a clean heart. If you see in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 10, the Lord says to Moses, I'm going to come out to these mountains. And he says, everyone should clean themselves. That is what, as a believers, we need to do. Sometimes we come in our Christian life to a point where we are backslidden. And we don't even realize that we are backslidden. Sometimes the Lord has to shake our nest and spiritually awaken us, that we are away and distant from the Lord. So before we come into the presence of the Lord, we need to purify ourselves. Jacob and his household were contaminated by touching the corpses and the spoils. They were contaminated. There are so many things in this world that will contaminate us. But before we come and take part in the Lord's table, we need to purify ourselves. And the third thing that they have to do is change their garments. The changing of garment is a transition from one state to another state. It is putting off the old life of sin and putting on the new life of godliness. The murderer's sons of Jacob, their hands were stained and their garments were stained with the blood. That's why they need to change their garments. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. It says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Putting off something and putting on something. Who has to do that? You and I have to do that. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Again we see, we need to put off that old nature and put on those new garments. And the fourth thing we see in verse 3 is, they need to seek God in worship. They have to seek God for forgiveness and deliverance from the enemies. If you see in verse 3, then let us arise and go up to Bethel. I will make an altar there to God. Second Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear their prayer and I will heal their land. We need to seek the face of the Lord and to seek His forgiveness and His deliverance. And fifthly, we see we should remember God's past deliverance. See, in verse 3, second part, it says, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. What was that day of distress? When Jacob was returning to meet his brother Esau, he was gripped with fear. The scripture says he was very much distressed. But the Lord delivered him. Isn't it? The Lord protected him. And what this scripture teaches us is that same God will do it again. That same God will do it again. He will deliver us from all evil. He will deliver us from our enemies. He will deliver us from the fear and death. He will deliver us from the temptation, from all evil, from pestilence and all diseases. And that is the preparation that is needed before they come to Bethel, to the presence of the Lord. That is the second step of spiritual recovery. Spiritual cleansing and preparation. Let's come to the third step. The third step that leads to spiritual recovery and renewal is a wholehearted repentance. If you see in verse 4, so they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. When Jacob delivered the message of God to his household, they were convicted of their sin. They were convicted of their wrongdoings. This is the first time that we see Jacob taking his position as a leader in the house. We see he failed as a leader when we read the previous chapters. But here we see he took his position as a leader of the house and is conveying the message, the truth of God to his household. And when they heard that message, they were all convicted. They were convinced. And what did they do? They repented. They turned from their sinful ways and they handed over their earrings which were in their ears. Now, what is wrong with the earrings? Those earrings were symbolic to worldliness and idolatry. They were not ordinary earrings. Those earrings would have had some symbols, some images. Can you imagine a family that God has chosen, that household was involved in pagan worship? They had to repent. And they have handed over those things. This is the first burial that we see in this chapter. There are four burials that are mentioned. But this is the first burial. And what did Jacob do? He took them and he buried them. Can you imagine a man like Jacob, an elect of God, who tolerated idols in his house? Why? Because he loved his wife, Rachel, more than God. And that's why he allowed that idol worship to continue in the house. But the Lord had to deal with that. Jacob, if you want to be in the place that I want you to be, then you need to get rid of these idols. So Jacob, he took all those idols and the scripture says he buried them. I would rather hear that he burned them rather than buried. Jacob was standing on the right ground. His savage sons knew that this is the truth that he experienced at Peniel, and he was conveying that truth. And that truth is, a man who prevails with God is also a man who prevails with man as well. That is the third step leading to spiritual recovery in the life of a believer. Let's come to the fourth step that leads to spiritual recovery and renewal. It is spiritual victory. If you see in verse 5, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Now Jacob knew that all the communities of Canaanites would come and take blood revenge and wipe them out. Can you imagine what would happen to the promises of God? The covenant that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Everything will be foiled. It will be thwarted. And that's why God had to act. And what did God do? He sent a supernatural fear among the community of Canaanites. We do not know what the terror was, but they were gripped with fear. They could not harm Jacob and his household. This is a wonderful testimony to the power of God. That's why there is a verse in Proverbs 16 and verse 7 which says, when man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace. Can you imagine? This man who was fearing, when he and his household were walking through in the midst of Canaanite, they could not touch him. God's protective hand was still upon Jacob and his household. But that spiritual victory doesn't come unless Jacob and his household separates themselves from Shechem and traveling towards Bethel. As long as they are in Shechem, God's protective hand is not there. God cannot work. And that's why he had to separate himself. So that is the fourth step leading to spiritual recovery. And the fifth step leading to spiritual recovery and renewal is obedience to God. If you see in verses 6 and 7, so Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan. He and all the people who were with him, and he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now they rejected and they turned from their sin and they turned to God. Jacob now is in the place that God wanted him to be. He finally comes to Bethel and he fulfills his vow. It took him 10 years to come from Shechem to Bethel. The distance between Shechem and Bethel is just around 20 to 30 miles. It would have taken him one day. But Jacob was living a compromised life. And God had to deal with that. And Jacob finally comes to the place that God wanted him to be. Renewal and revival doesn't come in the life of a believer unless there is absolute obedience to God. We also see Jacob's sincerity as well. Have you seen? He started and he went all the way to Bethel. No way lagging or no way halting in the middle. Just had it did at Shechem. Maybe you would have seen some wonderful places which were very attractive on the way. He said, maybe I can stop here and settle for a few years. No, he did not do that. He went all the way and came to Bethel. But see, in verses 6, he says, verse 7, the last part, it says, there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Why does the scripture often remind Jacob that you fled from the face of your brother? In other words, it is a blessing to reflect on the past memories, past experiences, how God has delivered us from all evil and danger. That is what the Lord was teaching Jacob. When he came to make Bethel, he had wonderful memories of Bethel. He knew that day when he was alone, when he was gripped with fear and when he was distressed, the Lord was with him. And he was reminding those past blessings that he has received from the Lord. Obedience to God. And 6-3, the next step to spiritual renewal and recovery is a renewed trust in God. Now Jacob would have thought, I'm in the place that God wanted me to be. Now I've come to Bethel, I've built an altar, I have worshipped the Lord. Now my life will be hunky-dory. Everything will be good. No troubles, no problems. But you know what? A life of obedience is not without problems. Jacob had to face four tragedies in his life. The first tragedy was the death of Deborah, the nurse of Rebekah. The scripture doesn't mention the name Rebekah or Rebekah's death. We do not know why. That is a different subject. But Bible scholars say it is because of the curse that she took upon himself when she forced Jacob to lie to Isaac. And Jacob was hesitating. And Rebekah said, "Let that curse be upon me." But whatever it may be, the scripture just mentions Deborah's death, the nurse of Rebekah. We do not know how she landed in Jacob's camp. It could be that Jacob, when he came to the promised land, to Canaan, he must have gone to see his father. There he met Deborah, and there he must have taken her to come and help, to look after his children, his wife, because she is a senior most person. And I'm sure he would have loved her so much. That connection was very deep, was intimate. And when she died, and the scripture says that she buried under the Terebinth Sea, so the name of it called was Ellen Backwood. That means the oak of weeping. I'm sure Jacob must have wept over the death of Deborah. And the second tragedy that we see is the death of his beloved wife, Rachel, while giving birth to son, Benjamin. We see that in verses 16, 17 and 18. If there was one person that he loved, it was Rachel. It was for her he worked 7 more years when she was deceived by his uncle, Laban, and gave Leah. He had to work for another 7 years to get Rachel because he loved her. And we know that while giving birth, she died. And I'm sure Jacob, even in the closing moments of his life, we see in Genesis 48:7, he recalls on his deathbed about Rachel's death. He loved her so much. It was a tragedy for him. And we see the third tragedy, his own son Reuben committed an incest with Rachel's maid Bilhah. She was Jacob's concubine. I don't know how Jacob reacted, but the scripture says Jacob heard of this incident. That's it. But we know that later in Genesis 49, when he started giving blessings to each son, he said how unstable Reuben was. And he said, "You're not going to excel because you lied with my concubine." That was the third tragedy in the life of Jacob. And the fourth tragedy was the death of his father, Isaac. Another earthly link was broken. Sometimes God severs our earthly links so that we have a renewed trust in God. How Jacob was able to cope with all these tragedies? The answer is a renewed trust in God. When Rachel gave birth to the child and died, she called him as Benoni, son of my sorrows. But Jacob renamed and called him as Benjamin, son of my right hand. He had so much of faith in him. When Rachel died, he erected a pillar there. In this chapter, we see two pillars, one at Bethel, another at the burial place of Rachel. What does this signify? The first pillar signifies about his thankfulness and gratefulness to God at Bethel. But the second pillar at the Rachel tomb signifies his faith and trust in the promises of God. Jacob was able to face all this. How? The secret is he was able to trust in the promises of God. Brothers and sisters, as we continue in our journey, we go through trials, tragedies, and difficulties, even though we are obedient to God and to His Word. But do you know what? We need to have renewed trust in God. And we can face all these challenges in our life. I don't have time to go on that. And finally, seventhly, we see a fresh revelation. If you see in verse 9, it says, "Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and bless him." Mark that word again. God appeared to Jacob. This is theophany. The appearance of God. The visible appearance of God. This is the confirmation of the revelation of God's covenant that he made with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 15. And when you come to Genesis chapter 17, it is the expansion of that revelation and that covenant that God made with Abraham. Now when you come here, this is the final confirmation of that covenant that God made with Abraham. It was a visible appearance of God. It was a face-to-face. And then we see God blessed him. How did he bless him? Firstly, he reconfirms his name. He calls him Israel, a prince with God, who prevailed with God. He was reminding Jacob, do you know? Do you remember at Peniel? You wrestled with me, you prevailed with me, and I have given you a new name. No more your name shall be called Jacob. You are in Israel, a prince. You prevailed with God. Why are you living like Jacob? Why are you living your old life? Live like a prince, one who has the power with God. And secondly, we see he reassures his presence. He says, "I am Almighty God, El Shaddai. I am the power and I am the sufficiency." The Lord was reminding him, do you want to live? Experience the power of God? Do you want to experience the sufficiency of God? Trust me, Jacob. And then he says, reconfirms his promise. And he says, "I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I give Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants after you. I give this land." God's promises will never fail. As we enter the new year, may we hold on to the promises of God. Today, the land of Israel, they do not have the full land that God has promised. But the word of God makes it very clear that land that is occupied by the enemies belongs to the children of Israel. And God is going to restore once again. We also can rely on the promises of God. We also can trust in the promises of God. That is the next step. And finally, we see the step leading to spiritual recovery and renewal is worship and dedication. Now if you see in verse 13, then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. It was a personal communion, face to face. God had to come down and he had to go up. Can you imagine? A feeble person like Jacob, man with his own weakness, God himself came down to meet and had conversation with Jacob. What a wonderful appearance of God. What a wonderful revelation. And Jacob said, this is truly a significant event. And I'm going to dedicate this place as a place of worship. So what did he do? He went. So Jacob set up the pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. He immediately took that stone and set it up as a memorial and set that place as a place of worship. And then we see he offered a libation, a drink offering. This is the first mention of the drink offering in the Bible. It speaks about dedication, consecrating oneself to the Lord. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not reading all the verses, but it will take time. Even our Lord Jesus Christ poured out his soul unto death. It is an act of dedication, the giving out of one's heart and life to God. This drink offering, which is a wine, represents the blood of Jesus Christ. That stone represents our Lord Jesus Christ. That oil that he poured, it speaks about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They all represent our Christ. Today, you and I can claim our inheritance by raising that Ebenezer. Because that is what God has promised to us. So when God meets with a man, with a believer, when he is in a backslidden state, he does two things. One is he worships God and he bears testimony to the work of God in his life. And that's what Jacob did. What did he do? If you see in verse 15, it says, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. He was not speaking to himself. He was bearing testimony to all the people who are there. And he was telling them, this is the place the Lord met with me. The Lord appeared to me. The Lord gave me a promise. The Lord gave me an assurance. And that is what you and I need to do. To worship the Lord. To dedicate ourselves. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice to God. And we need to bear testimony to the work of God, just as Jacob did. Jacob was living a backslidden life. He was living a half-obedient life. It looked as if God left him. But do you know what? God was still working in the life of Jacob. The work of grace was still continuing in the life of Jacob. In order to bring him back to the place that God wanted him, sometimes he uses his own way of testing us. He puts us through some tough situations in life, difficult situations in life. He disturbs our coziness sometimes. But when we surrender ourselves to the hand of God, no matter what our past may be, our lives will become a marvel and a miracle and a monument by the grace of God. So may the Lord help us as we enter the new year. Let us take stock of our lives, where we are in our Christian life. What you are going to do for the next one whole year. Will it be just like the 2022? Or you are going to make a pledge and say, Lord, this year I want to be fruitful. Lord, this time I'm going to give more time for you. Lord, I have wasted the last year. That year will never come again. What is that you are going to do for the Lord in the coming year? May the Lord give us grace and strength and spiritually awaken us so that we will come back to Bethel. Are you at Bethel or are you at Shechem? If you want to experience the blessings of the Lord wants you to be at Bethel. May the Lord bless this word. With this thought, we'll enter into a time of worship. Children will take the first opportunity and then adults.